I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk to our good friend Dan Kongerski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Dan, it was a day where we got probably a little bit more clarity on certain things and really not much more clarity on some others when it comes to the NHL and the plans to return to action. I don't know. What did you think of the Gary Bettman call today?
You know what, Paul? I might be in the minority saying this, but I thought today was Bettman's shining moment as NHL commissioner. His three-year-old Sports grandson's in the background knocking down pots and pans and dogs are barking. It was almost a human moment for Bettman, who has otherwise struggled to, you know, appear lifelike for the last 25 years. But also, I mean, by and large, the framework they've got in place, I'm not crazy about the 24-team play, you know, playoff and play-in format, not crazy about that. I'm not crazy about some things. But overall, they've done an extraordinary job. They're ahead of the NBA. They're ahead of Major League Baseball after getting a slow start. And I really just think with the NHL and NHLPA coming together as they've done in the last month, this really is a good moment for hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing, is that it feels like they're trying really hard to move forward and, you know, do the things that they need to do to get on a path. Now, the one thing about it is it doesn't seem like the path to actually going and playing is very quick. I mean, it seems like we're not going to see actual hockey probably till the middle of July, correct?
Yeah, at the absolute earliest. In fact, Sportsnet just reported here in the last few minutes that there will be two exhibition games as part of the training camp, you know, before the real bullets start flying. So the absolute earliest, if you assume a two-week training camp that the playoffs could begin, which, by the way, is part of today's announcement. Phase four, which is the actual return to play, will not – I'm sorry, the training camps, phase three, will not begin until at least July 1st. So the earliest we'll see actual games is July 15th, probably a little bit later than that. And that pushes the Stanley Cup probably into September.
Yeah, that, and I think that's okay, you know, if that's what we're talking about with respect to the timeline. Now, the question I have for you is, I was a little confused. Are they going to do five-game series, like for the first two, or and then go to seven games, or is it going to be five games all the way to the semifinals?
To be determined. They are going to play a five-game, they're calling it a qualifying round, call it a play-in series, whatever you want to call it. Those are five-game series. What happens in round one and round two is to be determined. The conference final and the Stanley Cup final will be seven games guaranteed. So those are small details. They've got you know, a few weeks to work out.
The one thing I think that should be noted is if you, you know, the good thing about this Hub City thing, and we'll talk about that in a second, but to me is, you know, unlike the plan where you were going to take 30 teams to one city or whatever, and they were going to play out the regular season, to me, I mean, if you do it this way where you have two, you know, 12 teams go to one city, 12 teams go to another, I think the one good thing about that, Dan, is that every week and a half, half the teams are going to be leaving and going home, so you're going to have less and less people that you have to house and test and all that other stuff.
Yeah, you noticed, if you saw the announcement, you know, at 4:30 today, Gary Bettman led things off talking about safety and that being the NHL's paramount concern. That was communicated very clearly and strongly by the NHLPA to the NHL as part of the approval of the 24-team play-in. A lot of the players held their judgment or held their yes vote until the NHL really assured them that they were on the players' side, that there will be frequent testing as part of the 29-page memo that went out on Monday. Moving to phase two, teams will test their players at least twice a week, in those small group workouts. I've heard that testing will increase to a very frequent level once they get to those hub cities. And that's one of the things that will help select a hub city is the availability of medical facilities and testing.
Yeah, and I think a big really important part of it, Dan, is to me at least, you have the opportunity for teams when they lose, they get to go home, so there's less and less people that you have to test, and there's less and less people as you go through it. I think one of the things that a lot of people talked about with the hub city stuff, you know, with, for instance, baseball, and even some of the earlier proposals in hockey, the NBA, is that you've got 30-some, teams all in one city. How do you, how do you continue to have, that much of a city shut down, A, to house them all, and B, how do you keep testing them all? Well, I think this is a good start is, all right, well, the way you do it is you make it a tournament where teams get eliminated and go home.
You know, I hadn't considered that. As part of the announcement today, they announced essentially a 50-person per team limit, between skaters and support staff and everybody. Really, the teams are allowed to roll with 50 people as part of their entourage. So that means to start, we're talking about 1,200 people. But you're right. After, let's say, a week or 2 weeks in the hub cities, eight teams, 400 people go home. And then another 200 people go home. So, there might be a little bit of a strain on testing early on, but obviously after a few weeks, you're down to a very manageable number.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the key. Now, we saw the list. Let me pull it up here. Chicago, which is a western city. Columbus is an eastern city. Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver are all the ones that are under consideration. I know last week you had said you felt like Columbus and Vegas were sort of, kind of the favorites. Not heavy favorites, but they were sort of the favorites at that point. But Edmonton is making a charge. Do you have any more thoughts on that?
Well, thoughts. I don't want to confuse thoughts with a report. First thing I'll do is call your attention to that list of 10. Only two Eastern Conference cities, Columbus and Pittsburgh. If they do kind of want to maintain that certain symmetry and having the East play in the East, which isn't guaranteed, by the way, that kind of means Pittsburgh is on a short list, right? What Gary Bettman said after his video conference when he was on NBC Sports with Mike Tirico, kind of cleaning up some things, answering a few questions. He all but eliminated the Canadian teams, or the Canadian cities, rather, unless the Canadian government relaxes that 14-day quarantine rule, because they couldn't have a Canadian hub city and kind of transfer teams to it for a Stanley Cup final or anything like that, because then you have to wait 14 days. So, in fact, that rule would even apply to teams moving from their training camp, say in Pittsburgh, to Toronto for the hub city. The Penguins would have training camp here and then go to Toronto. Well, under the current provisions of the border, they would have to wait 14 days before they can engage in additional activity And Bettman said that's a non-starter. So unless the Canadian government relaxes that quarantine rule and accepts the U.S. quarantine as acceptable, the Canadian cities of Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton are in fact out.
What about the, and I know it's a long way down the road, but is there any discussion about how they would work out the final? Like, would it be, how would they do that?
Yeah, I think those, I hate to call them little details, but in the grand scheme of things, something like that is kind of smaller to be worked out down the road. They're still figuring out a couple of the larger details, such as the seeding versus brackets and how to do this little round-robin tournament amongst the top four teams and first-round matchups. Those are some things I think they're going to solve first. Those are more immediate. It would be kind of cool to travel back and forth. I don't know if the players would want that or if they'd want to hole up in a singular arena for a seven-game series. I think the NHL play-in or the NHL return to play committee, which includes a handful of current players like former Penguins defenseman Ron Hainsey, will get a little bit of a say in that as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how all that comes together. But those are details that I'm sure as we go through it will sort of be thrown out there and they'll figure it all out. I mean, again, when you look at it now, the one thing that has changed a little bit, I think, from what we heard last week was this, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, but is the idea that these the teams that are the top four seeds will get byes, but they will have to play some round-robin games that actually matter and will determine their seedings 1 through 4, which means there's no guarantee the Penguins, if they were to beat the Canadians, would play the Flyers. I don't know. I mean, how do you feel like that about that?
Yeah, that's interesting. That was certainly one of the suggestions that the current players on the return to play committee kind of really pushed for. I don't think anybody else really put too much thought into it, but those top four teams wanted something that mattered to get their competitive juices going, to make sure that those games had a little bit of an edge to them. Certainly, I saw what you wrote in the Post-Gazette, which I really liked, about the Penguins having an easy path to, for the first couple series, Montreal, Philadelphia. I think that would be a best-case scenario. Now, with the way they're talking, and it's not finalized yet, the Penguins could draw the Boston Bruins in round one, and that would just really suck for the Penguins.
Oh, there's no question about it. That would be. And again, it's not that they can't beat them. It's just that's a really tough matchup for them in a lot of ways. And also, I mean, the Bruins are really, really good.
Yeah, the Bruins are probably the best team in the NHL. If they had their legs underneath of them, I don't know that the Penguins could. I think the Penguins would have to really pull something out of their hat to win a seven-game series.
Yep, that's the beauty of seven-game series. Well, Dan, we got to get to a break. You got a few more minutes? Can we talk a little bit about the draft lottery and all the other stuff that was talked about today?
Wow, I feel like a comedian on Carson. I got the wave over. A second segment.
Yes.
Sure, Paul. Anything for you.
A lot happened today, so we got to get to it. But we'll talk. We're going to get to a break, and then we'll come back with Dan after the break. It's the Paul's Eye Show on 93.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.